There normally I precede the message with scripture, and I've been caught about it twice this morning, but I'm using what you already spoke in the service as my foundation for scripture, for a certain message. It's the Apostles' Creed. And it is scriptural in all it says, so I hope that's good enough. I collect bumper stickers. I don't mean I have a drawer in my house where I actually have those vinyl things sitting in there, but I read bumper stickers and I try to remember the messages that are worth remembering. I mean, some are funny, some are clever, some aren't ones that I could repeat in this room. And some are true enough that they stand out. Let me share with you some of my favorites. Noah was a brave man to sail in a wooden boat with two termites. Remember, you're unique, just like everybody else. Old fishermen never die, they just smell that way. Jesus loves you, everybody else thinks you're a jerk. Or, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet him. Watch out for the idiot behind me. Now, it'll take a minute, but it'll come. You seen those safety stickers on board, those yellow signs, this baby on board? Well, I saw one that said, adults on board, we want to live too. And then, honk if you believe in anything. That last one. Honk if you believe in anything haunts me because I think it speaks deeply to truth of our culture today. So many different opinions and our culture's love for relativism and our jadedness and disillusionment and distrust of everything from authority in all its forms to politics and even to people around us, we're finding fewer and fewer things we can believe in. Sometimes for good reason, sometimes for not. Moral relativism, though, tells us that we all have our own truths. And how dare we challenge someone else's or offer ours to somehow impact them? It's part of the popular philosophy of pluralism and our desire to live and let live for fear that we might offend someone. We want to avoid confrontation. But the question I have is, does moral relativism really work? Christian philosopher J.P. Moreland wrote about an encounter he had with a student at the University of Vermont. Moreland was there speaking in a dorm when a student told him, whatever is true for you is true for you. Whatever is true for me is true for me. If something works for you because you believe it, that's great. But no one should force his or her views on other people, since everything is relative. As Moreland left, he unplugged the student's stereo and started out of the room with it. Hey, what are you doing? You can't take that, it's mine. And Moreland looked at him and says, you don't mean you're going to force your belief that it's wrong for me to take your stereo. He went on to point out to the student that when it's convenient, people say they have no problem with sexual morality or cheating on exams, but they become moral absolutists in a hurry when somebody might take their things or violate their rights. There's a postscript of this story. That same student, several weeks later, became a follower of Christ because he recognized the connection finally between God and human dignity and rights. That God made us in his image. You know, it might be a great new evangelistic tool, stealing stereos for Jesus. Well, maybe not. But there are times I wonder if we believe in anything anymore. And if we're going to wrestle with this question, maybe we should start by asking what it means to believe in something. Is believing something to be true the same as believing in something? We can believe a fact either by accepting the word of a trusted source or by our own experience. The fact is an objective reality. Believing in something, it seems to me, requires trusting. And trusting comes in relationship. Trusting in it to the point that we're willing to invest ourselves or risk ourselves to it. Anybody know the name Charles Blondin? Anybody here know Charles Blondin by some footnote in history? You know it because the story is told a lot in the student circles. No, I know. You're one that tells the story a lot. That's the point that lives back here in the back. Charles Blondin was sort of like the Flying Melendez. That name is much more familiar. Those who were the royalty of the high wire acts. Charles Blondin became very famous in the summer of 1859 when they had stretched a high wire 160 feet above the Niagara Falls from the Canadian side to the U.S. side. And he wowed audiences as he walked back and forth between two countries across this chasm in the water below, as though it were nothing. I mean, he even at one point took with him a little stove and cooked an egg on the high wire. I don't know how he'd do that, but that's the report. Well, one day in one of his shows, he blindfolded himself and he pushed a wheelbarrow back and forth and back and forth across that from one side to the other. And people oohed and awed. They were amazed. And then he stopped at one side and said, I want to turn this into the participation part of the show, audience participation. You believe I can take this wheelbarrow back and forth? Oh, yes, we've seen it. You can do that. That's true. Do you believe I can put somebody in the wheelbarrow and take them back and forth? Yeah, I suppose you could. Yes, I believe that. Do I have any volunteers? Not a hand went up. Go figure. But believing in something or someone enough to risk your own welfare to it. There are many things we believe to be true, but far fewer things we actually believe in. Believing in something also has as its outcome that it will shape the way we live and how we think and act. We can say we believe in something or someone, but our actions don't prove it. Do we really believe in that thing or that person? What are some of the things that we say we believe in as the committed followers of Jesus Christ? I went to Facebook this week and I asked that question, needing help for my sermon Sunday morning. Got a lot of responses, so thanks to you all who did respond, some who are here today and others beyond that. I can't share them all, there were too many, but several of them echoed each other. So let me share a few of them with you. Several of the responders said, I believe in God's unconditional love, that God loves each of us and all of us, not because we've done something great, how good we are, or achieved some minimum standard, but because it's God's nature. And in God's love for us, which we don't deserve and haven't earned, God calls us to love other people as well, as Christ did. As Christ loves us. We say we believe in this, but do our actions prove it? Are there people that we simply don't love or accept? Are there times we act and feel toward others in less than loving ways? Some said you believe that God will provide for all our needs. But does our familiar anxiety and worry tell a different story? Do we believe that God knows our needs and that God is able to meet every need of our lives, for our families, even for our congregation? The Sunday school answer is yes, but do our anxieties say something different? Are we anxious or fearful about our finances, having enough for our own needs, or even for God's financial provision for the church? Do we come to God confident and open-handed, offering God all that we have, knowing God will multiply it and use it to bless others and ourselves in His plan? Or do we turn our praying hands into our wringing hands, worrying if God's going to give us enough, worrying that we'll have enough, well, for those of us who are my age and getting older beyond that, will we have enough to live out to the end of our lives? Worrying. In spite of what we say, what do our actions tell us? We have to be responsible, yes. Don't misunderstand. We have to be good stewards and do our due diligence and follow as God leads us with the gifts he's given us, by the way. All that we have is his given into our hands. Do we believe that God won't let us fail? Are we sure God is our provider? Do we act like it? Asked the question, and several responded this week, saying they believe there is life after death, that heaven awaits us all as believers. But do our attitudes send the same message? We can be confident that we have eternal life, yet I've sat by the bedside of so many wonderful faith-filled saints who, knowing death was very near, said, can I be sure I'll go to heaven when I die? My heart breaks because they're much closer to God in the living than I know I am. But they aren't living with that hope and confidence. And every time they ask that question, as I sit by their bedside, I either take them by the hand or I stroke their brow, because sometimes they're at the point they really can't hear if you aren't that close. And I say, I believe with every fiber of my being that yes, we will go to heaven, not because you or I have done something worthy of it, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf. We can know, and we can be confident. Some of you, in answer to my question, told me that you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, God living within us to guide us and strengthen us, to empower and encourage. But do our actions prove we truly believe that? Do we act as though we think we're all alone in a world that overwhelms us? That we get tired and we tend to sit in the corner and say, nobody understands, nobody cares, nobody is there to help, I'm all by myself? Or do we live seeking to be obedient to God's leading, listening for God's voice, expecting God's presence and touch in our lives? Can we say with confidence, I'm his and he is mine and he is here with and for me? There are so many things that challenge us, that threaten to wear us down, leaving us feeling inadequate and small when life's pressures sometimes seem never-ending. So how do we deal with all those pressures and pains and competing voices? I think the best way is to go back to focus not on the obstacles or the things that divide us, but on the core of what we believe. We just shared together a few moments ago a wonderful celebration, a watershed moment in the lives of these four confirmands and their families. A moment that many of us can remember, or almost remember in our lives, a part of our own development as believers. And as we share in that moment, we focus upon the faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives and ours. They committed themselves to living to serve other people in their love for and obedience to God. And they did it in the context of the Apostles' Creed, which, by the way, you all shared. And I resist saying, would you read it with me? But would you confirm it with me? Because it's much more than just words if there's power behind it. It's a historic affirmation of faith focused on the core of who God is, who we are in Christ. We believe as a church. It doesn't talk about secondary things. It doesn't talk about which of the instruments that we have that was ordained to be the divine instrument in worship. It doesn't talk about which method of baptism is correct, immersion or pouring or sprinkling. It doesn't even talk about an external dress code that the worshiper has to follow. It talks about the core, the center. and leaves things that aren't in the center alone. If we focus only on the core, the heart of our faith, on the person and purpose of God, it calls us back to the center of our beliefs. Let's go through what that creed really says. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in God who was creator of heaven and earth. This God who is Trinitarian in nature, three distinct persons in one. I believe in God the Son, in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. The Son who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. I believe he was crucified, sacrificing himself, taking the guilt of our sin on himself to free us to be acceptable to God. I believe that he died. That may sound like a simple thing to say. But that he died. He didn't faint. He didn't fall into a coma. He died, and he was buried along with others who had died as well. I believe he ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And I believe he will come to judge the living and the dead, the last judgment. I believe in God the Holy Spirit, who lives within each of us to guide, protect, empower, and encourage. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, small c, nothing, no reference against the capital C Catholic Church, but the Holy Catholic Church, a church that is universal in all places around the globe. I believe in this church, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. And the communion of saints, I believe in the church, which is a gathering of those who have been faithful in every generation and every place together. That there are saints who have gone before us, who are cheering us on now that it's our turn, and who will wait for us to celebrate what God has for us together when that day comes. I believe in the forgiveness of sins that both frees us from bondage to sin and death, and frees us for lives of service and love and joy now and forever. In saying that creed, we said, I believe in the resurrection of the body of Christ himself, our resurrection at the final day. And I live in the presence of God who created us. These things are the things I believe. These things are the things that if we live them out in our lives, give us the power, the courage, the hope to overcome whatever we encounter and allow us to live as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ now and forever. What do you believe in? Amen.